Hi, everybody. Welcome to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
So, Mike, where did you go on your last vacation?
My last vacation were to some beautiful islands.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw lots of birds on these islands and heard lovely music.
That sounds great.
Maybe you've heard of the islands. They're this tiny little country. It's not very well known. Japan.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's not really tiny.
Not, some of them are, I guess. Some of
the
islands are.
It's kind of a big country, though. Lots
of
people, very famous.
Yeah, kind of famous, kind
Most
of well
people
known.
Have gone there. But yes. They are islands.
Yeah, they are.
That part is true.
Okay. My last vacation was to Canada.
Really?
It was.
Well, I know people from Canada.
You're from Canada.
I'm from Canada.
It
That's
was
the people
great.
I'm talking about.
Okay, so but again, it's quite big. It's quite
big.
Famous. There wasn't anything unusual or different about Vancouver.
Did you visit an island?
No.
No?
There is a little island in Vancouver, but it's connected by road, so I guess...
That's kind of an island.
Anyway.
Not exotic islands like we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some cool islands, the Canary Islands. Let's read about them and find out why they're so interesting.
Reading.
The Whistling Language of the Canaries. The Canary Islands, or the Canaries, are located just off the coast of Morocco in North Africa. Despite this, they have belonged to Spain since the late 15th century. The Canaries consists of seven larger islands, as well as a number of smaller ones. Spanish is the primary language, though on La Gomera, there's also a whistling language that has existed since ancient times. La Gomera, like the rest of the Canary Islands, is volcanic. In fact, there are still active volcanoes on some of the other islands. This means that there are many steep cliffs, and the sand on some of the beaches is dark, almost black. This doesn't make the islands any less attractive, though. Many tourists head for the Canaries to soak up the sun and admire the beautiful national parks. La Gomera is home to one of these. The Corajone National Park features mountains, a rainforest, and deep valleys. Communicating across these valleys is no easy task, which is where La Gomera's whistling language comes in.
Okay, so our article begins by saying the Canary Islands, or the Canaries, are located just off the coast of Morocco in North Africa. Okay, when we use this phrase, are located somewhere, we're just describing where it is, okay? And just off the coast means they're close to the coast. So these things are in the Atlantic Ocean, they're slightly to the west of the African mainland, not far from Morocco, so it's pretty warm there. You can imagine that it's hot all year round. And I've been there.
Really? You've been to the Canary Islands?
I've been to... Oh. There are a whole bunch of islands. We'll talk about that in a moment. I've been to three or four of them.
Fantastic.
When I was younger. It's the sort of good place with a nice holiday resort where my parents could take my brothers and I when we were kids, and we could just kind of have a lot of fun there.
Very, very interesting. And the article continues and says, despite this, they have belonged to Spain since the late 15th century. So these two sentences sort of make most sense if we read them together. We know the Canary Islands are near Africa, near Morocco, but then the next sentence says, despite this, they belong to Spain. Now, despite this is similar to in spite of. It's often used at the beginning of a sentence that follows another sentence. Now, the thing is, the first sentence will make a statement, will say something like, these islands are near Africa, but then the second sentence will say something that sort of goes opposite to what you first heard, right? So since they're near Africa, you would think that they belong to Morocco or one of those North African countries, but no, they belong to Spain. So even though they are near Africa, they actually belong to the European country of Spain, which is a little bit further away. For example, we could say, despite the dark clouds on the horizon, we still went for a walk in the park. Two sort of opposite things. It's dark, it looks like it's raining, but we still went outside to the park. So a little bit surprising. It draws your attention to things that sort of might work in opposition or might be opposites. Yes, we also saw the phrasal verb belong to. If something is yours, if you own it, if you paid for it, and it is your thing, it belongs to you. For example, does this book belong to you? Is this your book?
Exactly. Okay, so the Canaries consists of seven larger islands as well as a number of smaller ones. Okay, so it's a group of islands. Seven of them are quite big, and then there are some smaller ones too. That's what this phrasal verb consist of means, to consist of. We use it to show what something is made up of or what it includes, what it contains, and so on. So the names of some of these islands are like, you might have heard Tenerife, Lanzarote, Gran Canaria, Fuerteventura. They're some of the bigger ones that people are more likely to visit. They're some of the larger ones. There's a load of smaller ones as well, though. Another way we could use the phrase consist of is to say this test consists of four parts: reading, writing, speaking, and listening. And we also saw the phrase a number of, which just means several or an unspecified number. Probably not too many. We wouldn't use a number of to mean hundreds and hundreds, but we could use it to mean anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 or 15 at most, something like that. A number of.
The number isn't exactly important.
Yes.
You're just learning that it's more than one. Back in the article, it says Spanish is the primary language, though on La Gomera, there's also a whistling language that has existed since ancient times.
Interesting.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Yeah, so Spanish, because, of course, the Canaries, we learned already, belong to Spain, so that's the primary language. Primary is an adjective, spelled P-R-I-M-A-R-Y. Primary basically means it's the first or the most important. When we talk about things being the primary, we're talking about their status or their position in a group. So, for example, the boss is the primary employee in the company. He's the main employee, the most important employee. Or, for many people, you might say lunch is the primary meal of the day. You have a small breakfast, maybe a small dinner, but your big meal is your lunch. It's the main meal or the primary meal. For example, the primary aim of this meeting is to finalize next year's budget. We also had that word whistle, right? A whistling language.
Yeah,
tell
that's
us more
an
about
interesting
that word.
One. Okay, here whistle is a verb. It's spelled W-H-I-S-T-L-E, whistle. Whistle can also be a noun. But as a verb, it means to make a clear, high sound by blowing through a small gap, a little kind of hole or opening in your lips and teeth. Yeah. That kind of thing. That's the whistling language. So as a verb, we could say, I whistled to get my friend's attention. Yeah, and now this whole language, this entire language, it's not, everyone speaks Spanish, but on La Gomera, one of the smaller islands, they whistle to each other and can actually speak and pass messages.
Really? The only thing I could say is like, hey.
Yeah.
You might say that to
something
get someone's
like that.
Attention.
That's
but
it.
I can't say anything else. That's very, very interesting. The article continues and says, La Gomera, like the rest of the Canary Islands, is volcanic. Okay, so that's why these islands are sticking up out of the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, because they're volcanic. Anything volcanic, this adjective means it has to do with volcanoes. Volcanoes are those fire mountains like Mount Fuji or something like that. I guess Taiwan, or it's volcanic, right?
Yeah, Taiwan
has
some.
Hot springs here. Yanmingshan used to be a volcano, although it's sort of, you know, a little bit sleepy these days, which is good for all of us who live near it. But because there are a lot of earthquakes, there are hot springs, there are places where there are cracks in the earth or the earth's crust is very, very thin, we can call places like Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines, also volcanic islands. They have a lot of volcanoes and other activity going on under the earth.
Okay, and the article adds more and says, in fact, there are still active volcanoes on some of the other islands.
Really? Okay. So not like Yanmingshan.
Yeah, active volcano, of course, volcano is this mountain that has melting rock outside and is sometimes pushed out, like Mike just was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And an active volcano means it still does that sometimes.
Wow.
Not a sleeping or dormant one, not an extinct or dead one, but an active one that still puts out a little bit of fire and smoke.
Very, very cool.
Now, what this means, when an island is volcanic, we can usually guess some things about it. And
mm-hmm.
the article explains some. It says, this means that there are many steep cliffs.
Mm.
That's one thing you see in volcanic islands. And the sand on some of the beaches is dark, almost black.
That's right. Black sand beaches. And we also have that adjective steep describing the cliffs. Well, a cliff is an area where the land has dropped down very, very quickly. If you've ever been down near Taidong or Hualien, you know that as you look out to the Pacific Ocean, there are a lot of cliffs. The road is quite high up, but then you look out over the edge of the earth and the ocean is far below you. Well, that would mean you're standing on top of a cliff. And a cliff, like many mountains, is steep. Something that is steep, it rises up at a very, very sharp angle. So it's very hard to walk up. If you're trying to get up something that's steep, you might crawl up using your hands and feet, or you might need ropes to pull yourself up, like a very, very tall mountain. Something that is steep, well, only Spider-Man could get up very, very easily. Steep, it's an adjective, and it's spelled S-T-E-E-P, steep. For example, it's really tiring to walk up a steep slope, yeah, like a ski hill. That is tiring.
Okay, now, despite these kind of black sand beaches and volcanic rock, the article says this doesn't make the islands any less attractive, though.
No, just hot beaches.
Yeah, so they're not as bad as the Hawaiian ones, where they've got black sand there. But
oh, yeah.
They're interesting, these beaches. They're good to look at. They're attractive, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Attractive is another adjective. It's spelled A-T-T-R-A-C-T-I-V-E, attractive. And it means beautiful and interesting and likely to get attention. So we could say, the attractive little house is on the banks of one of Italy's biggest lakes. Okay, so we're describing this house as beautiful and interesting and makes people want to go and visit it or live there and stay for a while.
That's right. Now, with warm North African weather, beautiful cliffs, great beaches, the article gives us no great surprise in the next sentence by saying many tourists head for the Canaries to soak up the sun and admire the beautiful national park. So tourists, people traveling for pleasure on holiday, they love to go there. It's a great place to go, or they head for that place. They head for somewhere, and this verb basically means to go somewhere. Where are you going? Oh, I'm heading for work. Hey, where's he going? Oh, he's heading for the airport because he leaves for Japan this afternoon, or something like that. It just means you're going somewhere. And to soak up something, well, it's a shortcut for you. We're going to absorb, we're going to get stuff to flow naturally into our brains. We're going to soak up this knowledge with a shortcut for you.
Shortcut for you.
How did you do on your English test, Emily?
I did really well. I got a 98.
That's great news. Good for you.
Would you like to hear about my history report too?
Sure.
I got 100. The teacher was really happy with my work.
I'm so proud of you. You're really doing well at school this year.
My gym teacher thinks I should try out for the basketball team, too.
Wow, so you're smart and good at sports. That's wonderful.
And my science.
You're really soaking up the praise today, aren't you?
What do you mean? Do I have a wet spot on my shirt?
No, you're not soaking wet. To soak something up actually means to spend time experiencing, listening to, or feeling something enjoyable.
Oh, so soak something up means 体验享受.
That's right.
Well, I guess I'm soaking up the praise. It makes me feel nice.
That makes a lot of sense. How about I soak up some praise now, too?
Well, I'm not quite finished yet.
Okay, so to soak up means kind of to enjoy something, often the sun. So we could say, I just want to hit the beach and soak up the sun.
Soak up some culture at the jazz festival.
Yeah, or to soak up and admire the beautiful national parks.
Right, sure.
Now, admire is a verb. It's spelled A-D-M-I-R-E, admire, and it means to really like something, to kind of think it's great, to go, wow, this thing is awesome, I really love it.
You really appreciate it.
That's right. So we could say many people admire the sports star because he does a lot of charity work. They respect him, they look up to him, they think he's a good guy.
That's true. When you have a hero or an idol, that's a good emotion, that's a good verb. I admire that person, I respect them, and I look up to them because they're pretty special. All right, well, yeah, let's talk about this island, La Gomera. It says La Gomera is home to one of these. It's home to one of these beautiful national parks that we referred to just earlier. If something is home to something, that's where it's found. That's where it's from. For example, you could say Taipei is home to many great night markets, or New York is home to many famous museums. If you want to find famous museums, you know where to go.
Okay, and the article explains more about the park. It says the Garaonai National Park features mountains, a rainforest, and deep valleys. So there's a lot of cool stuff here to look at, some of which are valleys. Now, valley, this word is a noun. It's spelled V-A-L-L-E-Y, valley. And a valley is a low area of land between two areas of hills or mountains. So it's the kind of the bit in the middle between two high places. And often valleys have rivers going through them. For example, we could say, from the top of the hill, we could see all the way across the valley, you know, where there's probably a lot of nice stuff and countryside, and then on the other side of the valley, you'll see some more mountains.
Yeah, usually if you're trying to cross a valley, you need a bridge or something like that, because the land drops down in the middle. All right, it says, communicating across these valleys is no easy task, which is where La Gomera's whistling language comes in. Ah, now we're starting to get it. Mm-hmm. Of course, this language is very old, and way before people had smartphones or email or even telephones, how did you communicate? Well, whistling would be a good way, especially if it's a valley that you can't cross easily. Crossing it or communicating across it is no easy task. That means it's difficult. So that's where this whistling language comes in. Where something comes in, this idiom basically means where this thing enters into our story, where this thing becomes important. For example, we need someone to record our show, which is where you come in, because you have all the equipment.
Okay, so that's where we're going to have to leave the first day of our article.
I was enjoying my holiday.
Yeah, but we're going to come back on day two and find out more about this whistling language and how it works. But for right now, it's time for our For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So our question is, which island or islands would you like to visit and why?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, I think I'd like to go to Matsu. I've been to Penghu. I've been to Green Island or Lanyu. Never been to Matsu. That would be good. I always wanted also to go to the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, where the big tortoises.
Where the big tortoises, where Charles Darwin did his research. That, of course, is far from Taiwan, down in the south at the South Pacific Ocean. What about you?
Well, I've been to the North Island of New Zealand, but I didn't get the chance to visit the South Island.
That's the one with all the mountains.
A lot of the
beautiful
scenery. Yeah, I saw the Lord of the Rings stuff in the north part of New Zealand, the Hobbiton and so on, but there's a lot more, the mountains and the lakes in the South Island, and I never got the chance to go there during my stay in New Zealand.
So
the South Island is one of those places I would like to visit.
Good choice.
About you guys? Where would you like to visit? Would you like to visit the Canaries and hear the whistling language of La Gomera? Maybe you need to join us tomorrow to learn more about it before you make that decision. We'll talk to you again then. Bye for now.
Take care.
The Whistling Language of the Canaries. The Canary Islands, or the Canaries, are located just off the coast of Morocco in North Africa. Despite this, they have belonged to Spain since the late 15th century. The Canaries consists of 7 larger islands, as well as a number of smaller ones. Spanish is the primary language, though on La Gomera, there's also a whistling language that has existed since ancient times. La Gomera, like the rest of the Canary Islands, is volcanic. In fact, there are still active volcanoes on some of the other islands. This means that there are many steep cliffs, and the sand on some of the beaches is dark, almost black. This doesn't make the islands any less attractive, though. Many tourists head for the Canaries to soak up the sun and admire the beautiful national parks. La Gomera is home to one of these. The Corajone National Park features mountains, a rainforest, and deep valleys. Communicating across these valleys is no easy task, which is where La Gomera's whistling language comes in.
Vocabulary Review.
Primary. Teresa's primary goal is to open her own clothing store. Whistle. In this part of the song, the musician doesn't sing. He just whistles the tune. Steep. The hike was much harder than Liz expected because of how steep the path up the mountain was. Attractive. The park planning committee agreed that the gardens made the public park more attractive. Admire. Connor really admired the way his older brother dealt with problems and tried to learn from him. Valley. This beautiful area is easily recognized for its tall peaks and deep valleys.